If you're new here, welcome to Cottonwood. If you're online and you're new, welcome to Cottonwood. We have been looking in a series entitled Bold, Learning to Live with an Audacious or Courageous Faith. We have been looking through the book of Daniel, and we come to the fifth test in his life. And we're looking at really Daniel's nine tests. There are nine tests we're going to look at that Daniel went through. The reality of it is the same struggles and tests that Daniel went through thousands of years ago are the same ones we go through. And if you weren't here for the earlier messages as we looked at Daniel's life, here's what we've looked at. I talked to you, test number one, and this happens to some of us from time to time or over and over again. What do we do? How do we respond when our life is turned upside down? Anybody ever had your life turned upside down? The job out of your life, a divorce, a difficulty, or health, financially, whatever it is. What happens when the rug is pulled out from under you? How do we respond? Man, let me tell you what. Daniel was a 15-year-old growing up in Jerusalem. And King Nebuchadnezzar, when he was 15 years old, came in and invaded, overthrew their kingdom, and then grabbed Daniel and 25% of the rest of the population, took him back to Babylon in a new place, a new culture. That's having your life turned upside down. So the first week I said, how do we respond with an audacious, courageous faith when our life is turned upside down? The second week we looked at, how do I respond when I'm pressured to conform? When peer pressure, struggles, or the world tells me, don't be this way, be this way. That's a test we still face today. The next week, I looked at this idea. What do we do when our beliefs are bombarded? Hey, that's exactly what happened to Daniel. His belief system, his belief structure was absolutely bombarded. If you ever noticed over the last 6, 8, 9, 10 years in our country, man, our beliefs are being bombarded. If you miss that, I want to encourage you to go view it online. Last week, I looked at this. How do we live by faith when we are asked to do the impossible? When we are faced with an impossible task? And that's a test sometimes we face today. And here's the fifth test, and we're going to see it from Daniel chapter 3. And we're really not going to see it in Daniel's life. We're going to see it in the life of his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here it is. What do we do when the heat is on? What do we do when someone turns up the heat? Now, before we read the first verse of Daniel chapter 3, we're about to, I want to remind you what we finished with last week. And if you aren't aware of some chronology, it might confuse you. If you look back to Daniel chapter 2, what you'll see is Daniel interpreted the king's dream. And at the very last of Daniel chapter 2, we end chapter 2 basically with King Nebuchadnezzar falling on his face, worshiping the one true God. All right? That's how Daniel chapter 2 ends. And Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are promoted in the kingdom. And they make basically rulers in the kingdom. Everything seems great when chapter 2 ends. Then you look at Daniel chapter 3 verse 1. Put it up on the screen. It says King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of himself. Whoa. I thought he just worshiped God. And we're one verse later. Man, sometimes I feel that way, right? It seems like we were just in church, but I haven't even gotten out of the parking lot. One verse later, right? I'm mad at somebody, or I'm mad at someone coming into church. Anybody ever have the one verse life, right? All right, so how do you reconcile the fact, worship the one true God, end of chapter 2, elevate Daniel and his friends and put them in, man, say, we're worshiping your God, and as a matter of fact, everybody in the kingdom's going to worship your God. Verse 1, okay, I'm going to make an image of myself. How do you explain it? Chronology. There's about 15 years separation. Remember I told you, the book of Daniel, I've told you over and over again, is about 70 years. There's about 15 years or so between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. In those 15 years, Neb drifts. Nebuchadnezzar drifts. We drift. Anybody ever look back where you were spiritually 15 years ago and think how much better I am now? Or perhaps anybody in here look back where you were 15 years ago and think, man, I'm way better or I'm way worse. A lot can happen in 15 years. And that's what happens in Daniel chapter 3. As a matter of fact, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are so successful in what they're doing, the leadership, because of what took place in their promotions, that others got jealous of them. And they kind of went up to King and said, hey, listen, you know, you're kind of the king. So you feel free to make an image. And so that's what we see in Daniel chapter 3. We open it up. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold of himself. And then he goes through, that's the dot, dot, dot. He says, as soon as you hear the music, the horns, everything else, as soon as you hear that, I want you to bow down and I want you to worship me. He says, you must fall down and worship it immediately. Look at verse 6. He says, whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Go on to the next one. And he says, but there are some. So some of those who were jealous of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He says, but there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you were here a couple of months ago, I preached a sermon series on second string saints. And I mentioned those saints that we don't focus on much. You know, everybody's heard of Elijah, but then the person who followed him was Elisha. I also talked about, really, this passage here. Daniel always gets top billing. His name's on the marquee, but these guys were with him from day one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so, listen, they choose not to pay attention. Now, notice, there are actually three charges. If you want to write these down, there are three charges that were delivered against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this short phrase here, charges that are given to us today. First of all, they looked at the king and they said, listen, these three guys who you have set as rulers in all of Babylon, they paid no attention to you. That's charge number one. They said, king, these guys don't think they have to listen to you. They think they're above the king, above the law. They don't have to listen to you. That's charge number one. He says, they pay no attention to you, your majesty. Neither do they serve your gods. That's charge number two. He says, they don't serve your gods. They don't fall down and bow to your gods, little g. And then here's number three. And they don't worship the image of God you made of yourself and set up. There were three charges here. Man, they don't listen to you. Boy, that's the king's pride. That's the king's ego. They don't worship your God. Your gods, he goes, that's kind of confusing. And he goes, thirdly, man, they don't worship the image that you built. And the king says, what? Really? You know, we aren't going to see a lot of images that we're told to bow down probably in our lifetime or even in our kids' lifetime. But aren't there false images that we worship day by day? There in your insert, I just put a blank line. You can fill them in. What are false images that we worship today, or we even build up ourselves? Boy, if you think Hollywood movie stars, stars of all kind, man, you look at when they say something, it's covered in the media, and we worship. There are certain families, right, that it seems like all of America pays attention to and follows them in their mess of a life, right? There's this image that everybody has to look like this and act like this. Everybody, man, we look at that. Movies, sports stars, athletes. Sorry, guys, got to get us too. Man, that we're just like, man, that's great. Teams, right? Cowboys. Cowboys remind us every other week they're mortal, right? Kind of helps us kind of knock themselves off of their idol. But don't we also build false images of self? I think that's the definition of social media, right? Make myself look as good as possible for everybody else, right? I mean, when I post something about, I don't want to post just sitting here by myself eating Oreos again. I'm not posting that. Man, I'm always going to be doing something fun, and everybody's having fun, and I've just finished screaming at the kids going, now smile. Right? I mean, that's right. We're building up an image, right? We want everybody to think, well, I'm having more fun than you are. And listen, I follow some of y'all on social media. I wish your image would come down. just made me jealous. See, then I've got another image, right? Right? We build images of ourselves. There are images that we're told, man, you look, you go into a university. We talked about this a couple. You go into a university, you better fall down and worship. I had a man in our church, and I appreciate it. He sent me an email this week of a university professor who was asked, do you believe God exists? And it was interesting because the university professor didn't answer the question. He started talking about evil in the world and ventured off down the path. And I said, you know, it's kind of interesting. The reason why he wouldn't answer the question, because he knows science screams there is a God, but he also knows if he says there's a God, he's going to face mounting peer pressure. And so my response to him was, he's a coward. He didn't answer the question. And he responded back and goes, he didn't answer the question. He deflected the question. But I'll tell you what, our kids, when they get on university campuses, what are they going to be told? You better bow down. You better bow down. You better bow down. So let's don't think this is a 2,600-year-ago problem. It's a problem today, right? That we are told to bow down, and we better let our kids know how do we respond when the heat is on. Here's a couple thoughts. Ready? You write these down. Number one, when the heat is on, don't be surprised that some people get furious when you don't bow down to their images. Don't be surprised at all when standing up for God makes some people furious. Don't be shocked. As a matter of fact, that shouldn't shock us. It should shock us more from this day on when we stand for God that people don't get mad, right? That ought to shock us more because that's where this country is headed, which is great. Guess what? The darker and darker it gets, the more the light shines. The more tasteless this world gets, the more the salt tastes good. And that's what we need to see. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Notice what he says. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, he was furious with rage. If you know what the Hebrew word means, that it means he was blowing his top. That Hebrew word there for furious is picturesque. It has the idea of a cauldron of boiling hot water boiling over. He was furious. Why? Because his ego was attacked. He wasn't being worshipped. A decree he had given wasn't being followed. I don't care who they are. And so it says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true? A lot of times, that's when we back down. Here's usually how the question is relayed to us as believers. Do you really believe that? So he says, is it true? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, he's calling their name. He had a personal relationship with them. He had elevated them 15 years ago. He had probably praised them and promoted them even more so. As a matter of fact, if you read between the lines, you go historically, the most successful season in all of their kingdom was when these guys were in charge. Believers. He says, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Number two, you ready? When the heat is on, don't be surprised when some people give you an ultimatum. That was basically what the king did to these guys. He gave them an ultimatum. Look at it in Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. He says, if you're ready now to fall down, please, and worship the image I've made, very good. We're all good. That's what he was saying. He's saying, listen, guys, we can settle this right now. Listen, just bow down. We'll all call it a day. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Either or. The furnace is hot, and it's not just hot, I've heated up hotter. He says, so you either bow down or you go into the furnace. This is when most of us back away. This is when most of us are tempted to back away. And the truth is, there have been seasons in my life where I backed away. My guess is there have been seasons in your life where someone says, is it true? And you back away. But these guys said, pretty much it's true. Well, what were they saying to the king? They said, you're the king, but you're not God. I want to say that again. Here's what they were saying. Yes, you are the king, and we honor you, but you are not God, and we're not worshiping you. So they go into the furnace. Get ready to go into the furnace. Here's the third thought today. Listen, don't let the outcome of your faith determine outcome of the furnace determine your faith. Don't let the outcome of the furnace determine your faith. Man, these guys had the most incredible response. One that we need to learn to pray every day and pray every day in my conversation, in my walk, in my talk with Christ. Look at it in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, if we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Did you get that? You know what these guys were acknowledging? The truth. That sometimes God delivers us from the crisis. Write this down. And sometimes God saves us through the crisis. Sometimes God delivers us from. I'll just be honest with you. If I'm given the choice, and this is dead level honest, I'm a big fan of from. Anybody, is that just me? A lot of times, don't write this down, but your pastor's a sissy. If I can roll through life without pain and suffering and hardship and difficulty, without the furnace, I would rather go that way. Is there anybody want to go that trail? Right? Sometimes God delivers us from us. Man, we see it coming and we pray and we say, God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. And God moves in with a miracle in our life. And guess what? Presto, no problem. Big fan of that life. But sometimes God delivers us through the furnace. I'm not as big a fan. But we have to go. We have to move through the furnace sometimes. Because as we're going to see here in a few minutes, that's where our greatest witness happens. It's not when we're healthy and wealthy and wise and everything's going good. Put us in the furnace. Let's see how things work out. Let's see how we handle what's going on. Let me give you four reminders when you do go in the furnace of life. Let me jump there quick. Number one, God is always with you in the furnace. God is always with you in the furnace. I want to remind you that, and I hear this a lot of times as a pastor, and I've felt this way in seasons of my life too, that there are times when we are in the midst of the furnace, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the hardship in life, that someone will come to me and say, Pastor, I just don't know where God is. And I'll go, what do you mean, where is God? They go, well, you know, I'm going through this, and 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 I just want to know where God is. And we forget that it's when we're going through that, and we're going through that, we're going through that, that God is right there in the furnace with us. Notice what it says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. And the king Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet after he had thrown him in there, had him thrown in there, with amazement, and asked his advisors, hey, boys, weren't there three men we tied up and threw into the fire? And they said, certainly there were only three, Majesty. You know what they're saying? He looks up. We're going to see here in a second. He looks in. They threw three in. They see four. If you feel like you're going through the furnace alone, I want you to know you're not alone. You are not alone. And the beauty of this is not only was God with them, but there were three others. There were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You heard me say over and over and over again that every person, you look in the New Testament, you look in God's family, every person needs a church, a ministry, and a small group. A church, a ministry, and a small group. Why? To go through this together. Daniel, listen to this. Daniel gets top billing, but he never did what he did apart from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never did what they did apart from the other guys in Daniel. If you are walking through this alone, first of all, God is with you, but also that's what the church is here for. Is that we make sure no one goes it alone. You say, Pastor, am I going to go through tough times in my life? Absolutely. What did God say through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 43? Put it up on the screen. Everybody together, what's this word right here? Say it out loud. Not if. As long as we live in a sinful, hard, difficult, dark world, it's when, folks. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And what's this word again? When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. What's that word again? When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Second thing to remember when you're actually in the furnace burns away those things that bind us. The furnace burns away those things that bind us. Remember, they were wrapped, they were thrown in, the furnace had burned. He says they're free, they're unbound. They struggle. Look at verse 25. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth is like the son of the gods. Man, what an incredible thought. That perhaps the furnace I go through, the fire that I go through, is what God is using to burn away the junk in my life that binds me and holds me back. That's a thought. That I have this sin in my life, or this struggle in my life, this hurt in my life, or this hardship in my life that's binding me. Sometimes God allows me to go through the furnace so it'll be burned off. So that I can journey unbound and unharmed. See, sometimes it's the furnace we don't want to go into that God plans to use to purify our lives so He can use us more and more. Some of the greatest ministries in our church have been started because someone went through a furnace. Some of the greatest ministers, lay people in our church, who have learned to love people who are going through hardships, have only learned to love people who have gone through hardships because they've gone through a furnace of their own. Some of the greatest impact we have ever had as a church, because some believers went through some hard times and they turned around and said, I'm going to help other people go through those same hard times. Guess what? Those things that bound them were burned off in the hardships of life. Here's number three, remember this. How I handle the furnace will either draw unbelievers to God or push them away. How I handle the furnace of life will either draw people and unbelievers to God or drive them away. What furnace are you in today? What hardship are you going through? What struggle are you going through? How you handle it might determine whether your mom or dad gets saved. Might determine whether your husband or your wife comes to faith someday. Might determine whether the next generation remembers you as the one that turned the family around. It may determine whether you become the gospel witness at the office and in the neighborhood and all around. Why? Because how I handle the furnace either draws unbelievers to God and points them to God or drives them away. Look at what it says in Daniel chapter 3, I believe verse 28. It says verse 28, says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except for their own God. Notice Neb. End of chapter 2, serve God. Beginning of chapter 3, had drifted away from God. End of chapter 3, back to praising God. I don't know where people are in your life, but if you're going through the furnace, if you're going through the hardship, if you're going through the struggle, this week, and it always seems to happen this week in our church, We lost four saints to death in the last 7 days, that either moms or dads or our brothers or sisters. It was one of those weeks. It was just like every day, it was one of those things. And some, the season was long and it was well expected. Others happened like that. And all of a sudden, the heat is on. And I want you to know it's a real furnace. The heat is real. When you are grieving and you're hurting or you're struggling, it's real. And it's painful. And it's scary. And that's why you don't want to be there alone. And here's a fourth thought. You ready? Faithfulness in the furnace always leads to God's blessings in your life. Faithfulness in the furnace will always lead to God's blessings in your life. Notice what it says, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Hey, did you get that? Beginning of the chapter, bow down or die. End of the chapter, you dudes are pretty awesome. Up. That's really where it was. And the truth is, had they compromised and fallen down, end of their story. But see, and listen to this and write it down. God's story never ends with you going into the furnace. It always ends with us coming out. It always ends with God's blessing. It always ends with God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the testimony of these three men who are still young. But God, thank you for the testimony of so many in here right now who they're walking through a fiery furnace right now for their faith, their walk, their love for you. God, thank you for those in this room who have been through the furnace of life, and because of that furnace they went through, have turned around, unbound and unharmed, are ministering to others. God, my prayer for us as a church is that we would move beyond any complacency that might have seeped in to our hearts and mind. That we would never bow down to this world. That we'd be salt and we'd be light. That you allow us through fall festival, the mission trips, whatever it is, to make sure that in every place, in every ministry, in every way, that when people look to Cottonwood, they would do exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did. They would fall down and praise the one true God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.